Hey guys, this is Blake.
And I'm Brian.
And we're here to tell you about another great sponsor of the Not Religious Podcast, and that is The Found Sheep. If you head on over to thefoundsheep.net right now, you can check out their great collection of hats, beanies, shirts, sweatshirts, things like that. Their hats are especially, especially dope. Am I right, Brian?
You are right on
point. That's right. And why don't you go ahead and tell them about their outreach there?
Yeah, so everything that they create is designed to point souls to Jesus and to remind believers that he is our good shepherd. Man, goodness. They give 10% of all of their profits to the local church, and another 10% provides outreach to people who serve in need all around the world.
Well, I'll be doggone.
That's right.
That's awesome.
An apparel company with a mission.
That's exactly right. Go check out their stuff. They got really neat stuff. And we also have a neat little promo code for all of our listeners today.
That's
Brian,
right.
What's that promo code?
If you type in not religious, that's not religious in all caps, after you fill your little goodie basket up with all of your merch, guess what? You'll get 10% off.
Woo! Heck yeah, dude.
That's just for our listeners. So thank you guys. Go ahead and check them out on the Instagrams and the Facebooks and help support thefoundsheep.net.
Boom. Boom. Boy, what's going on, party people? Welcome to the Not Religious Podcast, where I am Blake.
And I am Brian.
And we're your hosts of this podcast. And if you've been listening for quite some time, then I'm sure you've grown closer to the Lord, because that's what we're here for.
No, it's not.
Oh, well, that's what I was here for.
Oh.
But thank you for joining us this week. Brian?
Blake?
What are we talking about this week? What are we going to talk about this week?
What's happening right now? We're talking about the Bethel controversy, which I didn't even know there was a Bethel controversy.
I didn't either until... So here's how I came across the whole Bethel controversy thing. There is a page on Facebook that I am in, a group called Worship Drummers, and it's pretty neat. It's actually pretty big, and there's a lot of like big time worship drummers like from Elevation and stuff that are actually in the group and post pretty casually. So that's pretty awesome. But there was a few different posts where people started asking about, does anyone feel conviction playing Bethel songs after the podcast and the documentary? And I was like, I wonder what they're talking about. So I tried to look up some stuff right whenever I first started seeing things about that, and couldn't really find a whole lot. All I could come across was a podcast called Cultish, where they had a former member of Bethel's, I forgot what it's called, just drew a blank, it's in my notes somewhere, but the school.
Supernatural.
Something. It's kind of like Professor Xavier's school for gifted youngsters,
but completely
different and yeah. For your spiritual growth.
School of Supernatural Ministry, Supernatural School of Ministry.
That's it. So she had been kicked out of that, and she went on this podcast called Cultish and talked about it. And I was like, a cult? They think that Bethel's a cult? That's interesting.
I'd never heard of that.
I'd never heard of it either. So we did a little bit of digging into it, and I've had a lot going on the past week, so Brian has done a majority of the notes here for this week. So I've only got a few things, so I'm ready to...
You're ready to get your mind blown.
But before we get to that, I have a little bit of a news segment for everybody.
Oh,
okay.
Yay. Oh, you got to wait on me for that, huh?
All right, anti-vaxxers are about to be triggered. A Kentucky teen who sued over school ban for refusing chicken pox vaccination now has a chicken pox.
No.
J- Jerome Kunkel's family has no regrets.
Whoa, stop there.
Jerome Kunkel has no regrets about his inaction, which would have prevented the highly preventable childhood disease.
Kunkel.
Jerome Kunkel, a northern Kentucky teenager banned from school for refusing the chickenpox vaccination due to his religious beliefs, has come down with a childhood disease, his attorney said Wednesday. Jerome Kunkel, a student at Our Lady of the Sacred Heart Assumption Academy. What a freaking name.
Right.
Our Lady of the Sacred Heart Assumption Academy.
Okay.
First started showing chickenpox symptoms last week and hopes to have recovered by next week, a lawyer for the 18-year-old told NBC News.
So what does that mean for Kunkel?
So Kunkel and his family have no regrets about their decision to not be vaccinated.
Of course not. Because that would admit that they're idiots.
Exactly. Quote, these are deeply held religious beliefs. They're sincerely held beliefs, family attorney Christopher West said. From their perspective, they always recognized they were running the risk of getting it, and they were okay with that. Some ultra-conservative Catholics oppose chickenpox vaccinations because it was developed in the 1960s from cell lines of two aborted fetuses.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that was the reason for it either. A chickenpox outbreak at Our Lady of the Sacred Heart Assumption Academy in March prompted state health officials to order unvaccinated students to stay away from school. Kunkel unsuccessfully challenged the state ban in court. Now that Kunkel has the chicken pox and is thus immune to it, he hopes to be back in class soon for the first time since March 15th.
Kunkel.
What's your views on anti-vaxxers, Brian?
What do you mean, what's my views?
What are your thoughts on that? Like, are you an anti-vaxxer?
No, they're a bunch of idiots. Can I say that?
You can if you want.
I believe I can say that.
When it comes to that, when it's your religious belief to... Here's my thing.
But what religion, though? Like, what's the... I've
never heard of that with Catholics either. But until
And I used to be one, yeah.
Right. But I know that there's a lot of people who... It's not necessarily religious beliefs. They think that the government is... And listen, I'm all about a conspiracy theory, but they think that the government is... really vaccinating people with things that can cause, like, autism. But, I don't know about that.
That's a reach for me. I don't know.
I'm a little more on the line of aliens, you know?
They're like, vaccinating aliens?
No, like, I believe in aliens.
Okay.
Not so much that they're purposefully injecting us with something that's causing us to become... autistic,
alien stuff.
So hilarious.
I don't know about
anti-vaxxer
that,
got the chicken pox. What do you know?
I don't know any anti-vaxxers.
Who'd have thought that was going to happen?
I don't know. I don't know any people who believe in that.
Yeah, I've never talked with an anti-vaxxer.
I think I've met one before. I think there was a girl that
should ask Claire about it.
Performed with us, and we talked about it a little bit.
Did we?
Well, I think we brought it up with Claire, and she was like, "Yeah, they're idiots." I think that's what I think that's what she said. I don't want to misquote Claire, but I'm pretty sure that's what she said. I knew, but she was all like granola, like this chick, like. But she turned me on to the essential oils.
Yeah.
Because I had a real bad migraine.
I can get behind essential
oils. And she had some essential oils, and it, like, zapped the migraine away. And I was like, oh, that's freaking awesome.
Tiffany, that I work with, always keeps some essential oils on her. And,
oral.
And sometimes I get a little stressed out at work, might be a little overwhelmed, and she'll
hand me... You take some CBD oil.
I wish. She'll hand me some of that, it's like lavender.
Yeah. Stress relief.
Yeah, stress relief. So put it kind of under my nose. I like to put it in my mustache.
Okay.
Because then I can sniff it.
Supposed to put it on your taint.
Are you? Who knew?
Who knew?
It wrong. I'm going to have to start putting it on my taint.
But at work.
At work. Well, so there you go, anti-vaxxers. I don't know how you feel about that, but the guy was told you're going to get chicken pox if you don't...
If you're an anti-vaxxer and you're listening and I offended you, I don't care. This is dumb. I have my reasons.
Anyway. All right. Well, Brian, what? So, like I said, you did a majority of the note-taking for this week.
I did.
I tried to do as much as possible, but...
Yeah. You had a loss in the family, and you were doing your duty as a husband and as a friend, and our hearts and our prayers go out to that family. And nevertheless, I was responsible for the research this week, so that means it's going to be crap. Now, so we're talking about this Bethel Church controversy, and I had never heard anything about a Bethel Church controversy ever. Neither, like, ever. All right. So what I know about Bethel Church is they have a band.
Yeah.
Bethel.
Yeah.
You know, you've probably heard them on the K-Love. And and they also they've produced Jesus Culture.
Yep.
Has come out of there. I think Phil Wickham.
Has
come out of there.
Jeremy Riddle
has come out of there. So that's what I know of Bethel. All right, so let me start with the music aspect of it before we get anywhere into the Bethel Church part.
Yes.
All right. And the reason I say this is because I think the two are separated.
Yeah, I think so too.
And here's why I say that. Any kind of research or any kind of... I've watched a lot of documentaries. I've watched a lot of specials on worship bands that belong to mega churches. I've done a lot of reading. Hillsong, for example, Elevation, Passion, Planet Shakers. So I've always been kind of enamored by these homegrown worship bands. How did they make it?
Yeah.
How do you come out of... Yeah, granted, you're a group of talented musicians, but I mean... I know a lot of talented musicians. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. What made what you guys were doing special? So I've always been enamored by it, and I've always wanted to learn more about it to see what I can glean from it. So in saying that, everything I've ever come across in regards to the band's affiliation with the church, I will say they're like two separate entities.
Yeah.
Okay. Now with Jesus Culture, I've always thought, Kim Walker Smith was a little flaky.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I attribute that to the charismatic evangelistic, circle that they've always been in.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and that I've been in for the last, 10 years, six of which I was on staff at a Pentecostal church. Mm-hmm. So Jesus Culture was a big deal.
Yeah.
And
they've been a part of our lives for forever.
I mean, we played their music.
We were basically a Jesus Culture cover band.
Cover band there for a while. but with that, I attributed Kim, because things that Kim would do on stage, I mean, she'd get lost in the in the emotional outpouring and the anointing that was just going on with the Holy Spirit, and they're very, very open to the move of the Spirit and stuff like that. And you could tell, because I mean, there's a couple of recordings where I mean Kim just busts out and speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
There, so they're very charismatic. She's kind of flaky. Most artists, most artistic people are a little flaky.
Yeah.
They have their quirks or whatever. But I never affiliated them with Bethel.
Yeah.
I never really affiliated Bethel music with Bethel.
No.
Now, I know that at some of the conferences put on by Bethel and Bethel plays, there's some pretty left field stuff that happens, like spiritual painting, or the flag girls.
Yeah.
No, not flag. You know what I'm talking about.
The ribbons and stuff.
Yeah. They're blowing the shofar. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of kind of kind of
Brian blows a mean mouth trumpet.
I do.
If anyone has never heard him do it before, it's a talent that is amazing. I can't get over it.
Thank
it's
you,
incredible.
Sir. But there's a lot of non-conventional things that they do. But you put Bethel on a live performance at a non-Bethel conference.
Yeah.
None of that stuff happens.
Yeah.
Okay. Bethel on the radio. Very conventional stuff. I would even say, and I know worship music is an acquired taste for folks and their type of worship music. But I mean, I have no problem with Bethel stuff. I have no problem with Jesus Culture stuff. I think there's some very, very well-written stuff that has come out of both bands.
Yeah.
Phil Wickham. I don't have a problem with Phil Wickham. There's some very catchy things that Phil Wickham has done.
Yeah.
And
he was way more radio friendly, I feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. His earlier stuff, you could tell, wasn't driven by radio plays. Mm-hmm. But you know, he
Divine Romance is a great song.
Right.
And it sounds so different from everything else
exactly
that's out now. So.
Exactly. So I've always separated the two.
Yeah.
Now, once we start getting into what I have found about Bethel Church, you will separate them as well because they just don't seem like they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And like I said, anytime I've ever looked into a mega church house band that has, you know, become big, such as Hillsong,
right,
you know, all these other ones, it seems like the band and the church are two separate entities.
Yeah.
They don't always jive with what's going on at the church. It's almost like they're two different. And you and I can attest to that. And
we've
been around music and worship music, and we've been around other bands, and not all the time. It's almost like the worship band is kind of like its own little clique.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
And they kind of operate differently. They're associated with the church, but sometimes, you know, they're kind of fringe on some stuff. And not even, I'm not saying they're going out and getting drunk. They might have more spiritual grounding than what the church does. I've been in situations where, you know, the worship band is far more open to a charismatic setting than what the congregation is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So there's always been kind of like a one and the same, but different type thing.
Yes. I think with that goes with a lot of musicians because I guess maybe because you're accessing a different part of your brain when it comes to how you process worship or how you process reading the Bible or
just being in church.
For us, worship is a little bit differently because we're a lot of times we're up there leading it, you know? So we do it a little bit differently. And I've always kind of felt that way. Like it's a little bit more of a, not an outcast, but
kind of off to like their own subgroup. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think once you get to the level where Bethel and Jesus Culture are, you become your own.
Yeah.
Own entity.
Yeah.
That's just attached to a church. That's just my interpretation of it.
Okay. Right.
Mm-hmm. So now that I covered that, we're going to get into a little bit about Bethel.
Tell me, Brian. I am a young, impressionable mind, and I need you to mold me.
Okay.
So mold me. Like one of your French girls.
What?
Titanic.
All right.
Or draw me like one of your French girls.
That just took a turn.
You never seen Titanic?
Yeah, but you made it sound like I got a bunch of French girls locked up in a basement.
You don't?
No. All right, Bethel Church is a non-denominational charismatic megachurch that was established in 1954 in Redding, California. Now, they were Assemblies of God.
Really?
Yeah. So they were Assemblies of God, and they became non-denominational.
Okay.
Yeah. So the current leader of Bethel is Bill Johnson. Yep. And of course, you know, they're known for the music label of Bethel Music as well as Jesus Culture. There have been a lot of articles and a lot of publications online and in print written about Bethel and the ministry and what they're a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they are a part of the New Apostolic mm-hmm. Reformation, NAR. N-A-R is what it's...
NAR! Run by pirates.
Yes. And it's basically a movement which seeks to establish a fifth branch within Christianity. Mm-hmm. It's distinct from Catholicism, Protestantism, Oriental Orthodoxy, Eastern Orthodoxy. They want to be their own thing, okay?
Okay.
And it's considered a movement. So the movement... Oh. So the movement is largely associated with the Pentecostal and the charismatic movements that advocates for the restoration of the lost offices of church governance, namely the offices of prophet and apostle. So basically what it's saying is they're a part of this new movement. And instead of being called pastor or lead pastor or evangelist or something like that, they're wanting to reestablish within the church positions of prophet and apostle. So they're often refer to themselves as prophets or apostles.
Hey, Brian, yeah. you know who else called themselves a movement?
Who?
Jonestown, okay. The People's Temple, yeah. And... Scientology.
Yeah. Oh, so this is going to mirror a little bit of Scientology.
Oh, God.
Yeah. All right. So, inspired by the G12 movement, it grows by recruiting pastors of independent congregations and non-denominational churches and by assimilating members from other churches through cell group meetings and frequent church planting. And rapid expansion, including foreign missions around the globe.
Okay.
So, what they like to do is go to hunky-dunk church down the road on the corner that's running 75 members.
Yeah.
And they say, listen, it's not working for
this
you.
This ain't happening for you.
It's not happening for you. Why don't you come be a part of what we're doing, and we can guarantee you more members.
Okay.
Basically.
And more members...
More money.
I mean, more money.
Yeah.
Okay. Go on.
So that's one way, by going and, you know, seeking out pastors of small independent congregations, but mostly non-denominational, because if it's a Baptist church or, Assemblies of God or something, they answer to a higher governing national body.
Yeah.
These independent churches, they can make their own decisions. Also, church planting overseas. So in a lot of... countries such as Norway or Sweden, Greenland, Iceland, a lot of these countries, they haven't had a big charismatic movement like we've had here in the U.S.
Yeah.
So what they do is they seek out the most susceptible to charismatic worship church in the region, and they go over and they say, listen, become a part of us. You can become a part of Bethel. You'll have all these resources, blah, 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 blah. We'll send our worship team over to put on, you know, this, that, and the other. We'll,
yeah.
And we'll get you more members, which means more money, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So that's what they're doing. Not only are they church planting in other countries, but they're also doing it here.
Yeah.
In the U.S. of A. Which I don't have a problem with. I really don't have a problem with planting churches and
that's expanding. Commendable.
Yeah, that's good stuff. You're wanting to change the community.
And, sure.
Yeah, that's good.
Go for
that's
it.
Good stuff. Where I do have a problem with is these people get freaky. And I'm not like...
not like...
No.
Like
no.
Bagwan?
No, not like Bagwan.
And the Rajneeshis?
No.
Okay, not that kind of freaky.
No.
Okay.
So Bill and Benny Johnson,
Okay. Those are, that's the
You head can't pack. Trust anyone named Benny.
Right? Her name is Benny.
Oh, her.
Yeah. B-E-N-I. His okay. name is Bill.
Okay.
Okay, they're married. They're co-pastors, lead pastors of Bethel Church, lead okay. apostles.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so they're frequently criticized for their teaching, and it goes anywhere from like very suspect stuff or very non-conventional stuff to outright heretical. Like very, very, I'm making this up as I go and it doesn't align with the Bible. A prime example of this is Bill Johnson's Jesus Christ is Perfect theology, which claims that it is always God's will to heal someone. So God's will is always to heal. Okay. So what that basically is setting him up for is the next Benny Hinn movement.
Well, I've got a picture right here of Bill Johnson and Benny Hinn together. Oh, yep.
So they are very, very good friends.
They're besties.
They really are.
Okay.
All right. And so what Bill Johnson's theology on this is God, God cannot not heal. So if you come to a Bethel service and you need healing, you're going to get healed because it's God's will for you. The only reason you're not going to get healed is because of you.
Man, I've heard that before.
Right. He says, how can God choose not to heal someone when he already purchased their healing? Was his blood enough for all sin or just certain sins? And so he's equating cancer. He's equating... Yeah. Deformity, all this stuff to sin.
Yeah.
Okay. So not only is he going to heal you of your sin, he's going to heal you of your sinful disease.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right. So were the stripes he bore only for certain illnesses or certain seasons of time? So basically everything that Jesus endured, all the pain, all of that was... a blanket healing or a blanket forgiveness for everything that is wrong in the world is where he's going with this.
Okay.
He's basically saying his body, he made a payment for our miracle already. So we need to go cash in our miracle.
Okay.
Okay. So we are owed miracles.
Like a lottery ticket.
Right. So by being a believer in Christ, we are owed the miracles that he already paid for. He says, wouldn't it be ridiculous if you decided not to buy something after you've already bought it? Which I don't, yeah. So yeah. Maybe wouldn't it be ridiculous if you decided not to take something home after you've already bought it?
Right.
So he's basically saying,
I've done that.
I have too.
At the gas station. I've never bought a lottery ticket at the gas station, but I've definitely purchased a Yoo-Hoo and left it sitting right there on the counter.
Look here, I've prepaid for gas. Gone in, prepaid for gas, got a Polar Pop, got in my car and drove away and thought, holy crap, I just paid. Whoops.
Someone else came up. Mm-hmm. And you blessed them. No, that's all you
that's
did. You forwarded you paid it forward.
I did.
Kind of like people do with Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A.
Right? You pay it forward.
I'm paying it.
Except when you get the short end of the stick and you buy the family of 12.
Right.
Whoops. Oh,
they show up in counts. A 15-pack church van. Like, what? How many kids do you have?
Yeah.
All right. So, Benny Johnson, which is his wife, this chick is outright Looney Tunes.
Really?
Yes. Like... I listened to a couple of her things speaking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, homegirl is freaking cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. All right. So she also teaches like very, very unorthodox views of angelology.
Whoa.
Okay.
Is that a study of angels?
Yeah, yeah. Study of angels.
That's pretty cool, though.
No. Oh, never mind. Wait until we get to it. Yeah, like the idea of it's pretty cool. Like the people who really do it and like...
They're
like sane people.
Borderline. Oh, yeah. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah,
I got you saying.
But this chick, she should not be studying anything, right?
She should be studying the paint on her therapist's ceiling. Well, that's what she needs to be studying. All right. So angelology. So she believes that there are different kinds of angels. Messenger angels, healing angels, fiery angels who have fallen asleep. Okay, not only does she, okay, I believe in different kinds of angels. Okay, yeah. That's biblical.
Yeah.
Okay, she believes that they have fallen asleep.
Okay.
Getting there.
Okay.
In a blog post, she wrote, "I think that they have been bored for a long time and are ready to be put to work."
How are you bored when you're an angel?
Right. She's equating human qualities to an angel.
Say no more.
Okay. So, one of her stories is pretty dang funny. And I'm going to play it for you.
Okay.
Okay.
We have, 250 international students at our school this year. And one of them from England had an experience. Actually, excuse me, she's from Wales, not England. Excuse me.
Duh.
And she had an experience with an angel before she came to the school. She woke up one morning, and the Lord spoke to her and said, "I want you to go to Moriah Chapel and say, wakey, wakey.
Wakey, wakey."
How many of you have heard this story? Oh, cool, not very many. Awesome. Such a fun story. And she argued with God, and she didn't win. So she went to the chapel. How many of you have been to Moriah Chapel in Wales? Okay, Moriah Chapels is the site of the 1904 revival where Evan Roberts was. Okay, it's where the outpouring began. Actually, the outpouring began in a little chapel somewhere else in Wales that I can't pronounce the name. And I was just there and got whacked by God. That little chapel is not tarnished. And you can sit in the seat that Evan got touched by the Holy Spirit. Touched is too nice of a word. He got whacked. Just whacked. And you can sit in that chair and feel what happened in that room that day. It's amazing. So anyway, she gets up and she goes to Moriah Chapel and she stands in front of the chapel and she goes, "Wakey, wakey." And the Lord whispers to her and says, "Is that how bad you want it?"
Listen to the people listening to her. Like,
so she stood there.
They're and buying this
right there on a busy street. And she said, of course, there were all kinds of people there that day. And she yelled, "Wakey, wakey." And turned around and walked away. And when she turned around and walked away, she felt the earth shake under her feet. And she turned around and saw this huge angel. She is a seer. She can see into the spirit realm.
Sure she can.
And she saw this huge angel stand up. Get up. Just get up. And she had the sense enough to talk to the angel. I just don't know what I would have done. You know, you ever think about that? What if this great big huge angel stood up? I mean, it was a huge, big, really big angel. Would you have the sense to talk to it, or would you run the other direction? She said, "Why are you here?" And the angel said, "I'm the angel of a 1904 revival."
What?
Whoa. You hear the people?
Wow.
She said, "Well, are you the angel that's bringing the next one?" And he goes, "No, I'm not the one, because the next one is going to bring many, 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 many more souls into the kingdom." See, that revival that happened in 1904 moved all over the world, and Azusa Street in L.A., California started because of William Seymour and Evan Roberts corresponding with each other. And that's a whole nother story. I can tell you stories. If you ever want to read an encounter about Azusa Street, is get the book They Told Him This Story. Yeah.
Wakey, wakey, wakey.
So the angel from the 1904 revival.
Yes.
What does that even mean?
Yes. So apparently there was a revival in 1904
right.
that happened in Wales.
Okay.
And there was an angel there who delivered to the kingdom of God
so
the souls.
It's an angel that was already created that happened to be there.
Yeah.
Okay.
God sent an angel to that 1904 revival.
I thought that she meant that an angel was created from that revival.
No.
I was like, no, aren't all the angels
come on,
already?
Come on, Blake. That's ridiculous.
Little, that's giving her a little bit too much.
That's ridiculous.
She's not that loony.
That's just ridiculous.
Sorry, Benny.
All right, yeah. So
if that is your real name.
Yeah, that, I don't know, man. So wakey wakey. So I don't know. Like, how do you... How? And the people who are sitting, listening.
Soaking it up, man.
Soaking it up.
They love it. Flabbergasted.
Now listen. All right. I'm going to be careful here.
Don't be careful.
Yeah, I'm going to be careful. I believe in angels. Yeah. I believe in miracles. I believe that God can do anything he wants to do.
Yeah.
I believe that there could have been an angel asleep. At the 1904, whatever.
Yeah.
It is feasible for that to happen.
Yeah.
Do I believe this story? No.
Not at all.
Not at all. And one of the main points is if it was just this story that I heard that was the kind of outlandish.
Yeah.
Or kind of. Hard to believe. I would say, wow, you know, that could really happen. But when we get into what Benny Johnson likes to call grave sucking,
I saw a little bit about this.
That's where I start saying, homegirl has lost her angel marbles. Okay? Grave soaking or sucking. Either or. So basically what they're doing is previous people from the church or pastors or evangelists or things like that, they go to their graves and they lay on top of their graves or they stretch their arms to the ground of the grave and they suck the anointing from the person's bones.
Good God.
And right? So, but listen, this isn't something that someone heard happened and started like went on Reddit and wrote. Homegirl talks about it.
Yeah.
She's given interviews.
Don't they like train you in doing that something?
We're getting there. Yeah. So grave sucking. Basically what it's saying is their anointings and all of that have been unclaimed and literally they are going there to reclaim the anointing that God had given them.
I just want to say, first off, it's very rude to steal someone else's anointing.
How dare you?
Number two, you're stealing someone's anointing.
Thou shalt not steal.
That's one of the Ten Commandments. You didn't think about that, did you, Benny?
Yeah, Benny.
Good.
I don't think she thought about a lot of stuff.
Probably not. You think they smoke a little?
No.
You don't think so?
I think they are just flipping crazy.
Just crazy?
Crazy.
All right.
And that goes to the whole supernatural school of ministry.
You don't think they smoke a little?
I do not think so.
You think Benny and Bill are kind of kicking back in the living room one day?
No.
Puffing on some doobies?
No, man. I think
some Funyuns and are just like, we should go lay down on...
It sounds like that's where that came from.
Yeah. Like, you ever think that maybe we could just lay on the ground and, like, I don't know, man, like, soak up the anointing or something? Yeah, that sounds pretty dope. You don't think so?
No.
I don't know.
No, I don't. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Bethel where they're located, and what's happening in the town of Reading.
Okay. Something else is important about Reading, right? And something else?
No.
Famous?
I don't.
I've heard the name before.
Not that I know of. Not that I found. Gotcha. It's literally one of California's poorest areas.
Didn't know that.
Or was.
Gotcha.
Okay. Okay. So Reading, California is the home of Bethel's School of Supernatural Ministry. And this school is different.
I've gathered that.
It's different. So to be a student at the school, you got to pay $5,600 yearly. So that's a pretty good chunk of change.
Yeah.
It's not an accredited school, so you receive no college credit. So if you go to it and you go to 4 years and you graduate and you're knighted.
Knighted?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
And you're knighted at graduation.
Like Game of Thrones?
Right. You cannot transfer to, say, Liberty University.
Sure.
And use anything that you learned
sure.
in this school over in the old accredited realm of school.
Yeah.
Okay. So what they teach at Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry is healing, how to heal.
Yes.
And how to perform healings, perform miracles. And it's much like the Sea Org of Scientology.
So we're getting there.
We're getting there.
Okay.
Okay, so if you remember, the Sea Org of Scientology is basically you're in this special group, special organization where you're being taught how to be called by, you're fulfilling your calling.
Yeah.
You're the special of the special. So Bethel's version of the Sea Org is this school. And what they do is they bring you in and their only focus is healing. Not teaching you apologetics, not teaching you Old Testament, New Testament, the stuff you would think a theological school would teach. They do none of that. Instead, what they do and what you spend most of your time doing is going out in the community of Reading and honing your skill of healing. So what they do is they go to Target. Mm-hmm. And they sit outside of Target and they wait for someone to walk by who might look sick, basically old people.
Oh, okay.
Like
would they say anything to me because I always have dark circles under my eyes?
They might.
Okay.
And they would approach you and sell you on getting healed.
Okay.
And a lot of this is called cold reading.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to get to a little bit of that as well, what the cold reading is. So what will happen is they'll see a person on crutches or with a brace on or someone who looks like they just went through chemo.
Yeah.
And they'll try to heal them, pray for them, heal them. And they tell them where they're from and, you know, all this jazz. When they're not doing that, they are working. And by working, they're doing some great stuff. Like they're cleaning up the town. And but most of it is mundane working at the properties that Bethel owns, which is a lot of Reading.
Gotcha.
Much like Scientology bought up that town in Florida.
Right.
Okay. And the folks, the citizens of Reading are tired of it. They've reached their limit. You can find article after article about citizens of Reading. You can find YouTube videos where people are just upset. Actually, if you go on TripAdvisor, and look at some of their reviews,
I've got it pulled up.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I mean, they're not nice.
What's up, everyone in podcast land? This is Brian.
And I'm Blake.
And we are from the Not Religious Podcast, here to talk to you about one of our sponsors, PillarOfHopeApparel.com.
All right, Brian, they got some shirts, they got some hats, they got phone cases, whatever you need. It's awesome.
And if you go right now and go to your cart, fill it up, put in the promo code NRP116, you'll get 10% off your order.
Jeez, 10%?
10%. That's PillarOfHopeApparel.com. Promo code NRP116.
Check them out. Told my horrible cult. This is a review left on there. Horrible cult. Told my mother that they cured her breast cancer, and when it came back, they said it was her fault.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Yeah, if you click on the terrible rating and read some of those, it is I mean, it's they just don't like it.
Yeah. So that kind of sounds like Bhagwan and the Rajneeshis.
Yeah, so a little bit, so lending to a lot of the cult things that we have learned about, they definitely share some of the traits. So there was a fire that happened in California not too long ago.
Yeah.
Made the news, whatever. So what Bethel did is it decided to give $5 million to police officers in Redding, California. For the fires. Not $5 million to people who were affected.
Yeah.
The people who
just
were
to
put
the police department?
Just to the police department. Sounds a little...
Wouldn't that need to go to...
Okay.
I mean, even like maybe the fire department?
Yeah, you would think.
You know, like another first responder team?
Yeah. All right. So, and here's how this whole story plays out. The police chief... His brother-in-law is the zoning coordinator for the town of Redding.
Okay.
He's the one that approves and disapproves buildings being purchased, land being purchased in Redding, California. The police chief's brother-in-law. So by giving to the police department, what they essentially were doing was buying the local government's approval for the new buildings and new property that they were planning to purchase in the future. Mm. What future, you say? Well, 2 weeks after the city council voted to accept the money, 2 weeks after, they purchased over $27 million in new property.
Whoa.
Just 2 weeks. Hmm. They didn't even wait like a year.
No.
Like, oh, people are going to be looking at this. We need to be careful. No, 2 weeks.
Don't care. Yep.
2 weeks.
Good Lord.
Yeah. All right. So going to what I was telling you about cold reading.
Yeah.
Yeah. So cold reading is basically what happens with fortune tellers.
Ooh.
Yeah, with mystics, people like that who basically meet someone.
Yeah.
And then off of their encounter.
Okay.
They make certain assumptions.
If you close your eyes where you're praying for somebody, you're going to miss it.
If you close your eyes,
you're going
to
miss it.
What happens is you begin to pray, and you're praying, and you're releasing, and you may say one word, and that may be a trigger for them, and they just lose it. Or they'll begin to cry. And you'll look at, if you're looking at them, you'll really say, oh, we hit something here. Let's go after this. Let's pray into this. Mm. So keep your eyes open when you're praying for somebody. I know that sounds strange, but it really does work.
Yeah, so basically cold reading is a series of techniques that have been used by mystics and mentalists and mediums, illusionists, to determine and express details about another person, often in order to convince them.
If you're looking at them, you'll really say,
that the reader
here. Let's go
has figured
this.
Something out.
Gotcha.
So they they do like high probability guesses, basically, and go off of the person's reaction of whether or not they've got
it
right. So
keep your eyes open when you're praying for somebody. I know that sounds strange, but it really does work.
Yeah, keep your eyes open.
It really does work.
Yeah, keep your eyes open because we want to know. Thanks. Now, this is an example of cold reading gone wrong.
Gotcha.
Thank you, Lord, for that oil coming right now for healing in Jesus' mighty name. Release that. Do you have any children? No children. Because I'm just laying hands on you, and I feel like there's just something in that realm right now that God's going to release. Doesn't mean you're going to have natural children. It could be I'm picking up on it because you've never been married, never had children, but the Lord's highlighting that to me for whatever the reason right now. I feel like you're a real Hannah in the spirit, and that you've really dedicated anything that the Lord's given to you to the Lord, and in the same way in which Hannah dedicated Samuel. It was God had to open her womb in the first place, but prophetically she dedicated anything in which God had given her to the Lord. And here's what Samuel's name means God has heard. So there's something of the burden that you're carrying in which God is saying God has heard, and you're like a Hannah in the spirit, but I don't know, but the Lord highlighted to me that very thing right now in Jesus' mighty name.
Next.
So hi, Mary, how you doing? Is there a cancer or something? Okay.
No cancer.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Do you work in medicine or nursing or anything like that?
Nope.
You done anything in that area?
Nope.
You're going to do something in the area of the nation's missions with children as far as medicine and healing, relief, mercy, compassion, ministry type stuff like that. In Jesus' name, release that to you right now.
Yeah, so basically...
What an idiot.
Yeah. Basically, what Homeboy was doing was just trying to get clues off of these people.
Yeah.
And he was getting it wrong and wrong and wrong time and time again. Yeah, so basically...
You dummy.
That's what the kids at the old... Supernatural School of Ministry are being
Professor
taught.
Xavier's... School for Gifted Youngsters.
No, that is not it. That's not it.
Sorry.
No. In this, what I think has happened here, not to mention the amount of growth that is happening with Bethel.
Right.
It's a very appealing... church,
yeah,
to those who are seeking something,
right?
To people who want more,
yeah,
people who are searching for something. And when you have a church that focuses on healing, mm-hmm, and focuses on the healing power of God, what you come into is you come into a lot of desperate people,
yeah,
and desperate people are willing to not only be very vulnerable, but be very gullible, especially if they're being told that this is God and this is how God is working.
Yes.
Much like Scientology, they're recruiting an influx of young people and indoctrinating them into their ways, to the point of fostering an environment of disconnecting from people who question what they believe in.
Sounds familiar.
Right. What we also see is with Bill and Benny Johnson, who are bringing in tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Not only from Bethel Music, but from the school.
Yeah.
We see a glimpse of what power and what money and greed can do.
Yeah.
And also what can be achieved in the name of God when those factors are applied.
Right.
I've listened to some of the sermons from Bill Johnson, and it's very little biblical, a lot of prosperity, a lot of healing, and a lot of blessing.
Yeah.
They also foster a attitude of growth.
Yeah.
their main goal is to grow their community larger.
Mm-hmm.
And these are his words, not me putting my interpretation on it. He has said time and time again, he wants to outgrow his facility and the next facility and the next facility and the next facility at whatever cost.
Mm.
And what they've done, they're doing some great things in the community. They go by the riverside. They pick up, like I said, it's one of the, Redding is one of the poorest communities. You have two things in Redding, California. You have a drug epidemic and you have Bethel Church.
Mm.
Those are the two biggest things that are happening in Redding. So they go down by the riverside. They pick up syringes. They clean up the community. They're always the students of the supernatural school. If they're not hard targeting people at public locations, they're out in the community working, picking up trash or you know, helping the homeless. So they're doing a lot of good things. But at the same time, they're doing it behind a flawed theology.
Yeah.
And you have a man, a charismatic man with Bill Johnson, and a very charismatic woman, Benny Johnson, who have completely perverted the mission of Jesus Christ. And by doing this, they're affecting hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people by doing this.
Yeah.
What I also see happening here is when they go speak at conferences, they encourage small pastors. So here's the deal. So if your church is running, your church has room for 400, but only 200 are in there, build a new building. Build a new building three times bigger than the one you already have, because the people are going to come. Mm. And what that's doing is it's offering a false sense of reality.
Yeah.
And it's empowering that church leader into a greedy mentality.
Yeah.
If your church can barely fill the services that it has, you have no business building
absolutely
a church
not
three times bigger whatsoever.
Yeah,
that's dumb. If your church isn't growing and it hasn't grown in the last 3 years, you need to back up and reassess what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Research yourself and go to God with it and say, are we doing the right things?
Yeah.
That's just a little my personal thought there. But I can see where the controversy comes in with Bethel. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of touched on a few of the more outlandish things.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
There is.
There's a lot that I've come across. And it's almost, I don't know, I would say it operates like a cult.
Well, I've got something pulled up here. So we talked a little bit at the beginning of this episode about the Cultish podcast. And for those of you who maybe don't have time to listen, because it was a two-part episode, episodes are about an hour long each. And I'll be honest with you, they're very boring. But this is a article I found about the Cultish podcast episode with Lindsay Davis, who was kicked out of Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. So Lindsay Davis just wanted to learn more about Jesus. The Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry in Redding, California seemed like the answer. She eventually realized what she learned there strayed from scriptural teaching and made leaders Bill Johnson and Chris Vallotton the only trustworthy spiritual authorities. In other words, she found herself in a cult. God graciously opened her eyes when she watched the excellent documentary American Gospel, Christ Alone. Have you ever seen that?
I have not.
I haven't. I watched the trailer. It looks really good. And began to study scripture. After trying to confront the school for its faulty theology, she found herself ostracized and eventually expelled. So she goes on there and kind of gave her, just gave them a rundown of like why she joined and going against the grain was not encouraged there. In a brief summary,
not only that, I mean, she was told that the leaders at Bethel are the only place.
Yes.
That Bethel, number one, was the only place that she could receive truth. Number two, that the leaders at Bethel were the only people who had spiritual authority.
Right.
And could speak for God.
Scary stuff.
Very scary stuff.
Red flags going up.
If that comes out of a person's mouth.
Yeah.
That person.
Ruin.
Yeah, that person has zero intent on doing God's work. Nope. Zero.
Nope. All for selfish gain.
Yes.
So keep an eye out. And I've got one more thing that I wanted to share before we wrap up.
Okay.
Did you come across the Holy Laughter in your research?
Yeah.
So in the first episode of that cultish podcast, she talked about Holy Laughter and they played, you know, a little clip of it and stuff. I looked up a video of it, and to be honest with you, it terrified me more than the It Chapter 2 trailer that dropped today. It's so freaky. I'll play you a little clip of it. This doesn't do a thing for white people as a whole. It's terrifying. Can you imagine? Like, they used to just go off and they would talk about how the Holy Laughter is contagious. And so there's another video I saw where it looked like they were in like a youth group or something.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of middle school kids. And one of the leaders up there was like, you know, you just kind of have to, you know, you feel God just start to bring a joy to you. And same thing. Joy. And so, you know, you'll feel it like kind of in the pit of your stomach, and then it's just going to, and then they start just laughing, and there's kids that come up and they're like, how do you feel right now? And it's like, laughy. And they're all like, ha, ha, ha. And then they start laughing. You know, it's like, oh, this is weird.
Yeah. I mean, there's just all kinds of, I don't know, man. Like,
I'm out, dude. If I'm ever in a situation where Holy Laughter is going down.
Yeah. So there's this one instance where I'm going to read you an account of this lady.
Okay.
I sat on the corner waiting for my number to be called. Basically the numbers for the healing.
Yeah.
Okay. For my number to be called, and watch as a trio of prophetic dancers, barefoot and carrying colorful scarves, gather around a woman near to me. She looks very much like she has just emerged from a brutal chemotherapy treatment. They ask if they can dance for her. She begins to cry, clutching her husband's hands as they twirl around her. After a while, a woman interrupts the praise band to tell us that there is a healing pool forming in the front of the stage.
Wait a second.
A healing pool.
A healing pool.
It's a pool where the impossible is possible, where oil and water mix, and there's going to be real healing. As dozens of people come around and up to the pool, they're collapsing to their knees and they're raising their hands in the air. The woman's voice becomes a hypnotic chant. Oil and water mix here. Oil and water mix here. Outside the world, they don't. But in here, they do. Oil and water mix here.
Wow.
The ailing woman and her husband make their way to the pool and begin to dance with each other, swaying slowly.
They better have left room for Jesus.
Yes. I don't know, man. It's some And listen, let's be objective here. Maybe we're just missing it. Maybe we're judging and we're saying, man, that's just too outlandish for me. But you add that in with the grave sucking and the wakey wakey and
holy laughter.
And the, have you heard about the God's spirit dust?
No.
So at like Bethel conferences or at big services,
yeah,
they have like glitter up in the rafters.
Spirit dust.
And what they do is they say, feel God's spirit, blah, blah, blah. And they like release all this glitter.
Like confetti like cannons?
Gold dust. Yeah, kind of on people. I mean, there's just a lot here that is just a little weird.
That's a little much. I am going to talk to Chris about
spirit dust.
Spirit dust. Though,
hey, man, so. can we get some spirit dust up in here?
I think that would really set things off, you know?
Yeah, I think that's what you're missing is spirit
it's
dust.
Just spirit dust. Do they sell that at Olive Tree?
They might. The Olive Tree is a Christian bookstore.
Christian bookstore here in town.
Yeah, so I don't know. Being objective, maybe we're missing it, man. Maybe we're the ones that are just, maybe we're being negative and whatever. And if that's the case, I'm okay being negative because this crap is kooky.
Yeah.
Kooky dookie.
I'm not a fan. I don't know. But like you said, there's a split and a difference between Bethel music and this.
Yeah, I don't see any, because listen, with Bethel music, with Jesus culture, whatever, what you have is a group of talented musicians, good-looking, talented musicians.
Oh, yeah, all of them are models.
Right. Good-looking, talented musicians. None of them are going to stand at the stage and say, wakey-wakey, yeah, angels, because they're artists.
Yeah.
Their first priority, in my eyes, is making music for people to worship to.
Right.
This other stuff, they probably, like I said, I think they separate themselves, man.
Almost have to. I just don't know.
I've never heard of anything weird happening at a Jesus culture.
No.
Like this.
Yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying?
But, you know, I thought about the whole holy laughter thing earlier. You know, there's some of those songs, those really old Jesus culture
where
songs.
Where she's laughing.
Kim Walker will be like, ha-ha! You know? Like,
yeah,
I think that's different, though. I think it's different. That's just her thing, her shtick.
Yeah, I think that's just her. Like I said, she's very charismatic.
Ha-ha!
Yeah. But listen, when you get enthralled and move in the anointing of God and what's happening in the music and you're having a intense, interpersonal.
Yeah.
Almost, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. When you're having a moment with God and you can feel something different, supernatural happening, you can allow yourself to do things that you wouldn't normally do.
Yeah.
Cry, laugh.
Sure. Yeah.
Fall down. Those things are real. They really exist. Listen, I'm not Pentecostal anymore. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not. But I'm so glad for the time that I spent in a Pentecostal environment because it opened me up to a more charismatic avenue for God.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of stuff that I was around and witnessed was bogus and fake.
Oh, 100%.
And human.
Yeah.
But there were true, genuine moments and moments that I experienced where the move of the Holy Spirit really got a hold of me.
Yeah.
And you can find yourself doing, saying, evoking things that you normally wouldn't do.
Maybe run.
I've never ran.
I've never ran either. I never understood the running.
I never did either.
But hey, man.
But I'll tell you about this one time. Listen, there was this guy, little fella.
Yeah.
It was at the church.
Yeah.
And the church stage sat probably a good 4.5 feet off of the floor. And there were stairs leading up to it. This dude was up there playing acoustic guitar. And, I mean, it was real thick.
Intangible.
Intangible. You know, I mean, you could just, there was a presence there.
Yeah.
You could just tell. This had to be God, because this little 5'4" dude took off, and he was probably 50 or 60 at the time.
Yeah.
Took off in a Usain Bolt sprint.
Yeah.
Off of the stage, straight off of the stage, and his little legs were continuously moving until they hit the floor. He didn't miss a step, and he went running to the back of the church. It was, I mean, something that physically he would not be able to do under his own free will. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel like he was definitely being moved,
yeah,
in the spirit. And I think that that stuff is real. I think that that stuff happens. But I also think that grave sucking and wakey-wakey is some Looney Tunes crap.
Yeah. I'm not behind that at all. So, Benny Johnson, I think you're a little insane in the membrane.
Yeah.
Just putting that out there.
And look, man, we could be completely wrong about this, and God, I hope that I am, but I don't think I am.
But I don't think you are. That's all right, Brian. Yeah. I stand with you.
Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome.
So yeah, so that's what we got. Again, go do your own
research. Do your own research about it. Absolutely.
There's a good BuzzFeed article out there that has a lot of information in it. There's all kinds of stuff out there.
We honestly really want to check out that American Gospel documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
It has the guy who was on Bad Christian, Benny Hinn's nephew.
Oh, yeah,
He's in that.
Okay, so I read some excerpts out of his book that he co-wrote, and he's got some stuff from Bethel in it.
Neato.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, go and look the stuff up, man. And
do it.
Yeah.
And you might be surprised what you find.
Yeah. If you're a part of something like that, do some soul searching.
Yeah. Reevaluate that.
And we have listeners in California.
Yeah.
So if you're out there in California and you're listening to us and you go to Bethel, maybe start asking some hard questions.
Yeah.
And this is being said out of love.
Yeah.
At the end of it, we can laugh about this all we want,
right,
but people's eternal lives are being ruined because of this, in my opinion. In my opinion.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right.
Any kind of prosperity gospel or just weird theology, ask yourself some hard questions, people. Don't get caught up in the hoorah and the whirlwind that is Bethel Church. Maybe do some real hard meditation and praying and soul searching.
Yeah. And trust your gut.
Definitely.
Like,
like, wait a minute.
Trust your gut. If something is just not right, just ask a question. Don't be afraid of the answer that you're going to get. Because more than likely, if you get the answer that you didn't think you were going to get, then go with it.
Peer pressure is an awful
thing. Yes, absolutely.
Awful thing. People will just accept and go with the flow just because everyone else is.
Right.
That's horrible.
And listen, if you're not the kind of person that wants to ask any questions, go with your gut. If something is not right, and something doesn't feel right.
Definitely.
Just go with it.
Definitely.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Do your own research about the old Bethel and come to your own conclusions. That's what we encourage you to do with literally everything in life, but especially regarding your spiritual walk with Jesus Christ.
So I have kind of a review.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Neat. So
go for it.
Our good friend Anne.
Yes.
Our
bless her.
My little sister Anne.
Right.
Yeah.
Good old Anne.
Good old Anne. She says that we need to stop doing something.
Oh. Well, what's that?
That something is stop saying that we don't know what we're talking about.
Oh.
And that we're the last people to listen to. Especially when it comes to, number one, worship music. And number two, preaching, pastoring, and theology. She said, if anything, that is the two things that you two should be listening to. So stop saying, don't take our word for it, or don't listen to us, or we're not the authority, or whatever.
Well, I'm not going to listen to Anne.
Yes. shut up, Anne, with your 12 kids.
She's the one that y'all should be paying it forward to.
Yeah, she's the one
in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru.
Chick-fil-A drive-thru that needs...
Them kids love some nuggets. Am I right?
You are right.
All right.
And some cheese on their face.
Just don't give Henley ranch. I learned that lesson.
Oh.
Yeah, we gave her ranch one time.
She just started eating it?
No.
Like,
her
drinking it?
Her like face started turning red, like around her mouth, like just got red.
Hand, hook, and mouth?
So, so we were keeping her for... just a night,
keeping
you know.
Her like she's a,
yeah. Owen was
a
like,
cat.
Right.
They were keeping
yeah.
her.
So they could have a date night. Me,
okay.
and, Allie, me and Allie kept Henley. Owen was just a wee lad.
Mm-hmm.
And Asher wasn't
Did
even
Did you have
thought
Owen
of.
Too?
No.
We just had Owen.
Y'all had Owen.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
had Henley. And so Allie was like, maybe some Chick-fil-A would be good.
Yeah.
I said, okay. So I went and got the Chick-fil-A. I come back. We asked Henley, you know, do you want any sauce with your nuggets? And we gave her some ranch. Maybe she had never had ranch or something. I don't know. Anyway, her mouth, like, breaks out and turns red all the way around her lips. And we were like, oh, crap, she's allergic to ranch? Who's
Who
allergic
knew?
To ranch?
Right, right.
Like, we start freaking out.
What kind of life is she going to live?
Kept watching her. It finally, like, started to go away. I don't know. Weirdest thing ever. I've never heard about people being allergic to ranch. But anyway.
Who knew?
Watch out.
Watch out for the ranch.
Watch out for the ranch. Anyway, Brian.
Blake.
What you listening to this week?
There is a cover album out. And you know how I love me some covers.
A cover album?
Yes. And this one, they went way back to the 80s.
Sure did.
Way back to the... What's the name of the album, by the way? I don't
it's
even know.
From the Screen to Your Stereo, Part 3.
Part 3.
Yes, from Newfound Glory.
So this is some Newfound Glory, and mm-hmm. this is one of my all-time favorite songs from the 80s. Love that.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
I'm glad they kept the chorus original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same time.
I like all the other stuff that they did in the song, but I'm glad they didn't mess with the chorus.
Yeah. Obviously, the original Huey Lewis and the News, but Newfound Glory, every few years, they will do a album called From the Screen to Your Stereo, where they take... popular songs from movies and just put their twist on them. So I was very excited when I found out they were doing another one of those. That one is chock full of really great covers, including Accidentally in Love from Shrek.
Right. Right.
So good.
All right, Blake, what are you listening to?
All right. So like we mentioned at the top of this episode, there was a death in the family. One of Allie's cousins tragically taken at a very young age. And it was really sad to see. So he's been on my mind lately. The family's been on my mind recently. And one of the few songs that like stood out to me that I really like just in general is Simple Man by Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Okay.
But this is also another cover. So this is not OG. This is actually the Deftones.
Oh, okay.
Their cover of Simple Man.
Was this one of his favorite songs? Or
I don't know, to be honest with you. Yeah.
It just reminds you of...
But it just reminds me of Hunter. Mm. So, Simple Man by the Deftones. Follow your goal. cool little take.
Yeah.
On that classic jam.
Yeah.
So yeah, just wanted to dedicate that one to Hunter. We love you, man. We miss you. If you guys do pray, please say a prayer for my wife and her family. It's been a rough time these past few days. So, but yeah. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to the Not Religious Podcast. So you can check us out on the Twitter, on the Facebook, and on the Instagram. All you have to do is just search for Not Religious Podcast. You can leave a rating and a review wherever you listen to podcasts, and we'll read it here on the show, whether it's good or bad, kind of like what Ann did for us tonight. And we are part of the Coming Right Up Network, and you can catch us every Sunday night at 5:30 p.m. on comingrightup.org. And while you're there, go ahead and check out the rest of the shows that are on there, because they're pretty dang good.
Pretty dang good.
Pretty dang good.
Don't forget to check out our sponsors. Use our promo code, get you some swag at a discount.
That's right. We actually just placed an order. We got a gig coming up at the Irish Festival. So we're ordered some new swag for that, and pretty stoked about it. So check out all our great sponsors, like Brian just said.
Yeah, and be nice to one another.
That's right. Later, guys. What's going on, podcast land? If you ask my wife what I own more than anything, she will quickly tell you that it's t-shirts. And guess what? I'm about to add to that collection thanks to Faith Attire. Since 2012, Faith Attire has been stacking up an incredible collection of streetwear with a message. T-shirts, hats, baseball tees, the whole nine yards. Their excellence is displayed through their products, but their vision and purpose is even greater. Head on over to faithattire.co to browse our catalog and use the promo code NRP116 to get 15% off your order. That's NRP116. Faith Attire, apparel for the selfless.